Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
Good morning, everyone. He's risen. Isn't it exciting to be able to celebrate something which isn't just in our minds? And that's one of the first things I want to speak about this morning is, you know, the resurrection of Christ is really the cornerstone of Christianity, but it's also an historical fact. And I think it was 2 years ago, we kind of focused on evidence for the resurrection, and I was tempted to go there again, but we won't go there this week. On Friday, we handed out some of these as gifts. If you didn't get one, this is the last one. And it's got five teachings, the look unto Jesus, the five wise, evidence for the resurrection, the much more gospel, and what the resurrection means for you. And so, you know, whoever comes up after the service first and gets it can have it. Don't stampede. But the resurrection is one of the most exciting things that ever happened in all of history, and it changed absolutely everything. Yes, Jesus' death is part of that. So we're not excluding that, but it's all one package deal. Amen? So, Father, we want to thank you that as we get into your word this morning, that our hearts are open to receive. And I thank you that we're going to have a great time together just being confronted with the reality of what you've done for us, Father. Just thank you for that, Father. We just think about your goodness. We think about your love. We think about what you've done. And we're just so amazed, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible says in Romans that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so, you know, there's this mentality in religion that if you want to get closer to God, if you want to get saved, you have to clean yourself up and then you can get closer to God. And that's just anti-gospel. That's anti-Christ, I'll even say. Because you can't clean yourself up good enough for God to like you. He likes you in spite of you. He loves you. He thinks you're amazing. That's why he died for you. Okay, so that he could redeem us. And you know, let me get into the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Otherwise, we're just going to keep going in a good track, but off track from where I'm wanting to go. 1 Corinthians 15, 14 to 20. I want to read from the Passion Translation. It says, "And if Christ has not been risen or raised, all of our preaching has been for nothing and your faith is useless." So, you know, the resurrection is one of the most important things that within Christianity. It's the thing which makes it legit. Okay, so if Christ had not been raised, all of our preaching has been for nothing. All of the preparation of the preachers was in vain. And your faith is useless. So if, it doesn't matter how hard you believe, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your faith is completely and utterly useless. Moreover, if the dead are not raised, that would mean that we are false witnesses who are misrepresenting God. And that would mean that we have preached a lie, stating that God raised him from the dead, if in reality he didn't. And if the dead aren't raised up, that would mean that Christ has not been raised up either. And if Christ is not alive, you are still lost in your sins and your faith is a fantasy. Sure. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you would be lost in your sins. You know what? The opposite is true then. You aren't lost in your sins. Sin has no power over you anymore. We looked at that a little bit on Friday. It was a good Friday. Amen? We're not lost in our sins, and sin has no power over us anymore. You might be struggling with stuff, and you know, that's okay, but what I'm saying is you're not lost in your struggles. You're not lost in sin. Sin, you know, the moment I realize that I'm dead to sin, which is what the scripture teaches, we'll look at it in a moment, is the moment that I was freed from sin. Because I believed the lie that I was entangled in sin. That sin was more powerful than me. And it's not. You're more powerful than sin. You just don't know it. If Christ is not alive, your faith is a fantasy. Many people think that our faith is a fantasy, but it's not, because it's founded on the resurrection of Christ, that he's alive. Happy Atheist Day as well, by the way. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So it's Happy Atheist Day too. You're lucky I didn't think of a good April Fool's. I was waiting for this day all year and I couldn't think of something tasteful to to do anyway. Where was I? Your faith is useless. Moreover, well, let's go down to your faith is a fantasy. Moreover, if the dead are not raised, that would mean that we are false witnesses who are misrepresenting God, and that would mean that we've preached a lie, stating that God raised him from the dead, and if in reality he didn't. If the dead aren't raised up, that would mean that Christ is not raised up either. And if Christ is not alive, you are still lost in your sins and your faith is a fantasy. It would also mean that those believers in Christ who have passed away have simply perished. So that means that if a believer has died, they compost, nothing more. Whereas there's more to it than that. Amen? There's more to it than that. Okay? They're alive with Christ. They're in heaven. I mean, Christ is alive in us too. But now they're in heaven. Okay? There's hope. If the only benefit for our hope in Christ is limited to this life on earth, and there is hope for this life on earth, but if it's limited to only this and not eternity, the scripture says we deserve to be pitied more than all others. But the truth is, Christ is risen from the dead as the first fruits of a great resurrection harvest of those who have died. Christ is risen from the dead. Your faith is not a fantasy. Your faith is not in vain. And we have eternal hope. Amen? That's good news. That's exciting news. Now, you know, everything that Jesus did for us. Amen? And we started looking at it on Friday where, you know, when he died, we died, etc., etc. So, you know, Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. Yeah, so on Friday, we didn't just celebrate Jesus' death, we celebrated our death. Dead to sin, dead to the law, dead to the elements of this world. Okay, I have been crucified with Christ. What's the significance of that? Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans 6 verse 6 says, knowing that our old man was crucified with him in the body, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. So we were crucified with Christ so that we wouldn't be in bondage to sin anymore. Sin has no hold on you at all. Hallelujah. If you feel like it does, it's just because you don't know the gospel. Romans chapter 4 verse 25 says, that he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So he was delivered up on our account of trespasses. You know, he died for us, for our sin, for our wrongdoing. On the cross, God made him to become sin for us, not for himself. He did nothing wrong. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin, so he was perfect, he was holy, he was blameless, and the sacrifice, to end all sacrifices, had to be perfect, blameless. Okay? He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You cannot become righteous in and of your own efforts. You cannot become right with God because you do good. Righteousness is only found in Christ. You believe and you got it. You're right with God. Okay? So God made him to become sin for us. Okay? He became identified with us on the cross so that we could identify with him in his death and in his resurrection. That's good news for us. We'll see more about this. But the way to kind of label it is, he was our substitution. Meaning, you should have been there. You should have paid the price. But because he was your substitute, it was as if you paid the price. The moment you believe that in Jesus and received what he did for you is the moment that you identify with him, and it's as if you were there, as if you paid the debt, even though you didn't do anything. So you get all the spoils of the victory, all the rewards, and none of the effort. Christianity is not about trying to get more from God. It's about just receiving what he's already freely offering us. All the rewards, none of the effort. To the religious mind, that's a struggle. And you might need to go on a detox if you're struggling with that. But the point is that when he was crucified, I was crucified. When he died, I died. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death," we've become, that's the point I want to show you. We've become united with him in the likeness of his death. And we'll look at the next part of that scripture just now. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. "But if we died with Christ," meaning we've died with Christ, "then," what? "We were buried with Christ." Romans chapter 6, verse 4. "We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death." We've been buried with Christ. Okay, Colossians 2, verse 12. "Having been buried with him in baptism." We've been buried with Christ. So now we identify that when he died, we died. And when he was buried, we were buried. Okay, then we're celebrating today that we're alive with him. We're not just dead. We're alive with him. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Let me see if it's there yet. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." So it's not just that I'm dead. "Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." So we're talking about the fact that now I'm no longer living this life. I'm not living for God. Living for God will make you tired. It's God living in me, Jesus living in me, and Jesus living through me. You can try your best to be a good person. You can try your best to be a good Christian. You're going to fail miserably because you'll never be good enough. So just give up. And now I just surrender to the power of God, the Jesus inside of you, the Spirit in you. As you surrender, and that's very difficult for most of us, but it's actually the easiest part. As you just surrender, he starts to live through you. Okay, so you don't have to try and be more loving. All you need to do is let the love out. "So I have been made alive with Christ." Colossians 2:13. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you did he make alive together with him." We're alive together with him. That's why 1 John 4 verse 17 says, "As he is, so are we in this world." Everything that's true of Jesus is true of you right now as a believer. Everything that's true of Jesus, because now you're alive with him. It's no longer you that lives, it's him living in you. That's why the same works that he did, you can do in even greater works. Now you might be going, "Oh, but I don't experience that." It's because you don't believe it yet. It's because you're not stepping out yet. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. "Even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ." We're alive with Christ. Amen? God raised him from the dead. So, "I was raised with Christ" is the next thing that we identify with him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, and he raised us up with him. I like Colossians 2:15 on this. It says, and we're going to get into this now in a moment, but it says in the Weymouth translation, "And the hostile princes and rulers he shook off from himself and boldly displayed them as his conquests when he triumphed over them." So in him being raised up from the dead, what that's basically just saying is that now he is completely victorious over every enemy. Okay, the Passion Translation puts it like this: "Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his." The problem for us is we don't identify with Jesus, and so his enemies aren't our, our prisoners. We're often prisoners to things. You might be feeling like a prisoner to something, sickness, a prisoner to depression, lack, just failure. Things just don't work out. If you're feeling like a prisoner to those things, then you aren't identifying, you're not seeing yourself in Christ. You're seeing yourself as separate from Christ. Because as long as you see yourself as separate from Christ, there's no victory. Because you're always trying to get closer to God. You're always trying to get something from God. But if you see yourself as one with him, when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he rose from the dead, I rose from the dead. Then you start to say that when his victory is my victory. And when you start to see his victory as your victory, that it was accomplished for you, and now that victory belongs to you, then sin doesn't have you. You control sin. Sin shall not be your master. Sickness is not having a hold on you anymore. You can tell sickness what to do. It's not, you're not their prisoner. They are yours. They have to do what you say. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof of Satan's complete defeat. I'll say that again. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the proof of Satan's absolute defeat. And yet the majority of Christians are worried about what the devil's doing. We should, like today, of all days, we shouldn't be worried about the devil and what he's trying to do because of our absolute victory in Christ. Amen. Doesn't matter what the devil throws at you, you are victorious. You're more than a conqueror. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "In whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." You know what I like about this verse is it's in the past tense. It says, "In whom we have redemption." You're not trying to get redemption. You're not trying to be redeemed. You are redeemed. You are saved through his blood. Okay? It's not something we have to pray for. It's not something that we ask for. The moment you believe, you're redeemed. Okay, you're not trying to get into Christ. You're in Christ. The moment you say yes to Jesus, that's good news. Okay, the Passion Translation puts it like this. "Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasure of redemption, the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace." We've been given the riches of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. Just let this wash over you. Let this the word just wash over you this morning, because it's going to set you free. As you accept these truths, you're going to have condemnation lift off of you, shame lift off of you. You know what it's saying is that right now you're joined to Christ. Right now, you are joined to Christ. Then it's saying that you have been given the treasures of redemption. Because of what Jesus has done for you, you've been given the treasures of redemption. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Okay? And because of his grace, how does it put it? The cascading riches of his grace, you have the total cancellation of your sins. The total cancellation of your sins. Amen. So many, even Christians, are trying to have their sins forgiven. When this weekend, the best news of all is your sins are completely forgiven. Hallelujah. There's so many implications with that. Why do we waste time focusing on sin in prayer? Why do we focus? I've been on courses and all sorts of things where sin is the focus, not the Savior. The Savior is mentioned in the last chapter, the last session. We focus on all that the devil's done in our lives and in our family's lives and all of this and everything that he's done, and now we need to deal with all the sin in our lives and what the sin has caused. And yet, the answer is in Jesus. And in an absolute instant, you can be set free from everything and anything the devil's done, because the devil's already defeated. You just don't believe it. The moment you believe it is the moment that you're free. We've had to write out lists, not in this church, and I'm talking about growing up in church. Write out lists of everything you've done wrong. You write out a list, you ask for another piece of paper. You know, you're right on the back, you're right on the front, and you're trying to think, am I missing something? And then you burn the paper, you nail it to a cross, you put it at the foot of the cross or something, and they've built a little tabernacle, and you have to crawl through it like this. I've done it all. It's all a load of rubbish, to be frank. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the solution. Yeah, I've been watching... AD, Empire and Kingdom. It's an awesome mini-series, and I encourage you to watch it. It's not all complete. I don't like some of their poetical license. Some of it I disagree with the way they portray certain of the disciples and stuff like this, but it's really good. It's all through the book of Acts. And one of the things I absolutely love is when Saul gets converted and now he's a Christian. And all the other disciples are trying, and I can believe this probably happened the way that they put it. You know, all the disciples are kind of trying to get into the temple. They want to worship in the temple as messianic Christians, because the temple was important for Jews, and now they've become Christians, but the temple was still important for them. Saul, who was the Jew of Jews, walks in there and says what? He says to them, why you want the temple? It's irrelevant. That must have come a shock to the religious. You know, I remember in Albania when I was preaching there in the beginning of last year and this year, over there in the culture, it's like God lives in the mosque, okay? It's a Muslim culture. And so, you know, for the Christians, God must live in the church as well. God lives in a building. That's what they kind of believe and how they see it. And, I just told them how it is. God doesn't live in this building. When we're gone, he's not here, he's with me. I take him home with me. And if you're a believer, you take him home with you. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit now. That's what the Bible says. He lives in me, he lives in you. Okay? You know what? At the cross, Satan's dominion over us came to an absolute end. So if he's messing with you, you need to start messing with him. Because you've got more authority over him than he has over an ant. You know, the redemption is according to the riches of his grace, the cascading grace. We are completely free. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, Ephesians 2, 6, and he raised us up with him, and he made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raised us up with him. He made us to sit. We didn't make anything. We just said, thank you, yes. It's like you got in the car and you didn't drive or walk anywhere or go anywhere. It's like the driver took you there. Jesus is the driver. He took you there. Amen? You didn't have to get there. He took you in. You know, let me go back to my upbringing. You know, you have to enter into the Holy of Holies and worship. You have to push in, press in. Try harder. You know, jump higher, shout louder. Mean it with your whole heart, like, go for it. You have to be more sincere, otherwise God's not going to pitch up. We want God to pitch up. Come on, guys, shout louder, dance more, or whatever. And it's like, then you break through into something. The gospel and the cross was your breakthrough. And so you don't have to work up a sweat. All you need to do is recognize what he's done. Recognize that his presence is already here. If we never sang any worship, he would still be here. Because worship's a lifestyle. It's from your heart. You don't have to sing. Singing is nice. I enjoy it. But the point is that we could have just left, you know, where are Carl and Alicia again? Albania. In Albania. I was just talking about them. In Albania, when we did our freedom conference, we did not have worship. Because the culture doesn't understand church. And so you bring an unchurched friend, an unsaved friend, and you start singing, and it's like, what are these people on? And we want to get them on that before we freak them out about it. So the point is that your God is here, and we don't need to sing ourselves into the presence. We just need to believe that the presence is here. And the more you recognize it, the more you come to an awareness of what the Bible says, it becomes a physical reality for you. The more you perceive it, the more you experience it. Okay? So we were crucified with him, we died with him, we were buried with him, we suffered with him, we were justified with him, we were made alive with him, we conquered Satan with him. Hallelujah. And we were raised together with him. The resurrection of Jesus is proof of our victory over the devil. It cannot be denied. When we receive Jesus, we enter into union with him. And in the mind of God, the way that God sees you right now is he sees you bigger than the devil. He sees you as more powerful than the devil. because of what Jesus has done for you. The devil tried his best to get rid of Jesus. He couldn't. Amen? When Jesus defeated death, Satan, and sin, it was our victory. The greater one lives in you. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you strength. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, the beginning says, if you were then raised together with Christ, we were raised together with Christ. If you were raised together with Christ, it's a truth. We are raised together with Christ. And it goes on to say, now seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. So it's saying, be heavenly minded, seek what's above. But now what I'm trying to say is that you have been raised with Christ. Okay? Which means in that moment when you were raised with Christ, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness and placed into a new kingdom, the kingdom of light. Colossians 1, 13 to 14 shows us this. Colossians 1, 13 to 14, that we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and been placed into the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of light. The Passion Translation says he has rescued us completely. You've been completely rescued. Completely rescued from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son are all our sins cancelled. And we have the release of redemption through his blood, his very blood. We have so much in Christ, and yet most of us are living far below what Jesus has purchased for us and is freely offering us. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. We don't know the word. In context, that word in, what's it? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. What it's talking about isn't the word as in the Bible. It's talking about the word in context as the gospel. Go read through that chapter. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God or the gospel of Christ. We don't know what Jesus has done for us, so we can't believe for it. We can't experience it. We can't enjoy it. And then we live in defeat because we don't know that the devil's defeated. Amen. He doesn't have any feet. He's been defeated. And so he's a pushover. He tries to come against you, you just push him over because he has no foundation. He's been defeated. The Bible says in Colossians that he's been disarmed. Jesus has disarmed the enemy. So he's a torso coming at you. It's good to laugh at the devil. Don't be scared. If he comes to you tonight, just send him to me. You know, the greatest message of our absolute victory is probably in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 22. It says, and what the exceeding greatness of his ability to us would who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenlies far above. Now we're seated with Christ. Keep that in mind. And it's saying that we're seated with Christ far above. All rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So the same ability that made Jesus' dead body come to life again is now living inside of you. The same power, resurrection, life power that raised up Jesus' dead body from the dead, brought his body back to life, is alive in you. Amen. Romans chapter, 8 verse 10 in 11 speaks about that beautifully. But if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, it's talking about how that power actually lives in you. Most of us think of it as a mystical, a psychological thing. But it's not a reality for us. It's a reality, guys. It's something which is a real, it's a fact. As much as you're sitting in that chair right now, as much as you're listening to me. That's how real the resurrection power of God is inside of you, which means that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You can face all things that come against you, and whatever the devil throws at you, you can throw back at him. Yeah, the ability of God was unveiled in the resurrection, and it shook the foundations of hell. I read that somewhere yesterday, and I was like, that is profound. The ability of God, which was unveiled in the resurrection of Christ, shook the foundations of hell. And yet, you know, most of us don't believe, we don't experience that kind of power because we don't know about it so much. God has lifted us up far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, not only in this age, but in the ages to come. You're more victorious than you realize. You're more victorious than you realize. Okay? There isn't anything too hard for God. Amen? And He's living inside of you. That same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is alive in you right now, so nothing is too difficult for you. Not because you're so strong, but because Jesus is alive in you. Okay? God's ability is in you. We just need to learn to release that ability. Amen? Matthew 28, verse 6. The angel says to the woman who had come to finish embalming Jesus, and says, you're seeking Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. You know, that was the one of the first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, an empty tomb. If you just go and look at the different evidences for the resurrection, go and listen to the teaching of it. We have it online as well. You know, the fact that it caused no small stir in Jerusalem, the fact that there was a problem for people and they couldn't find a body that even resembled Jesus to kind of cover it up, shows you that something happened. And then, I mean, if you look through Scripture, you see that Jesus appeared not only to a few people, but hundreds. Hundreds. The book of Acts says that at one time He appeared to 500 believers at one time. 500 believers at one time. Now some skeptics will call that an hallucination. They've got the hallucination theory where, you know, all these believers were kind of on something and they believe, you know, that they saw Jesus, the risen Christ. But hallucination is specific to me. We can't all have the same hallucination at the same time. So if something was to appear in the above my head and everyone saw it right now, it's no hallucination. It's something real. If Jesus appeared in bodily form right now and we got to see Him and we all saw Him, it's not an hallucination. It can't be by definition. Jesus is alive. Amen? Yes. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. It says, but Christ, having come a high priest of the good things to come, through the greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, nor yet with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, entered in once and for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Okay, now what I want to pull out of there is that, you know, Jesus went into the Holy of Holies with His blood on our behalf and secured for us eternal redemption. A lot of people, a lot of believers don't believe in eternal redemption. And then their walk with God fluctuates. Where when I'm doing good, God accepts me and He blesses me. When I'm doing bad, I need to try harder and for God to take me back again. But it's eternal redemption. It's secured redemption. It's fixed redemption. He's secured redemption for you. Eternal redemption, which means you're forever forgiven. You're forever free. Now, you might not be feeling forgiven, but that's your feelings. It's not the Word of God. You might not be feeling like a sin has no hold on you, But that's your feelings because you don't know the truth. When you come to know the truth will make you free. When you know the truth of the gospel of what Jesus has done for you, the nearly too good to be true news of what he's done for you, you'll start to experience the freedom that he's freely purchased for, or he's purchased for you and is freely offering you. Okay? My last scripture, I think. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. By so much also has Jesus become the surety of a better covenant. We've got a better covenant than Moses had. We've got a better covenant than all the Old Testament saints had. Let me just put them all together. We've got a better covenant than any of them had. Why? Because you don't have to do anything. You just believe. And you receive freely everything that Jesus has purchased for you. And we're living this side of the cross. You can have a better relationship with God through Jesus than Moses, Elijah, Adam, you name them. You can have a better relationship with God. Why? Not because you're living right and you're not doing what's wrong and all of this, but because of Jesus. He's brought you close to God. Through his sacrifice, he's brought you close to God. Now you are close to God. As a believer, you're absolutely one with Jesus. Amen? And because you're one with him, you can have a good relationship with him. Jesus, God doesn't play hide and seek with us. I know sometimes prophetic words come out like that. They're wrong. God doesn't play hide and seek. Yes, the Bible says seek him, but it's talking about seek to know him more. Not that he's hiding from you and he's silent from you and you need to try and do something to try and get closer to him. You're as close to God right now because of what Jesus has done for you than you'll ever be. You're closer to God right now than the breath that you're breathing. Even as an unbeliever. An unbeliever is close to God. They just don't acknowledge it yet. They haven't received it yet. They're not experiencing it yet. And I'm not saying that they're going to heaven automatically. They need to believe in order to receive. But we need to come to recognize what we have because of Christ. And then we get to experience it. The Bible says, I love it, in Isaiah 53, it says that by his stripes you were healed. Now, in Isaiah 53, it's a prophecy of Jesus, written 700 years before Jesus was on earth. It was written hundreds of years before Jesus came, and it perfectly describes what Jesus would experience. That's how accurate the prophecy is. And so when it says, by his stripes you were healed, it's saying, by his stripes you were healed. I've had people arguing with me. That's only talking about a spiritual healing. Then why did he die a physical death? Just so that you can be spiritually healed. It includes spiritual healing. But it's a physical reality for you and for me. And when we accept that, we can experience healing in our bodies from any sickness. It doesn't matter how big. It doesn't matter if it was your fault. If you walked outside with barefoot in the rain or whatever and got a cold, it doesn't matter. The same power that it took to raise Christ from the dead is now alive inside of you and is giving life to your mortal body. That's talking about a physical reality. It's not talking about an emotional reality. It's not talking about a psychological reality. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you and is giving life to your mortal body. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. He is giving life. He is revitalizing your mortal body. The more you recognize that, the more you acknowledge it, the more you'll experience it. Amen. Father, I want to thank you that you're alive, Jesus. If you're serving communion, you can come up too. Thank you, Jesus, that you're alive. Thank you that the same Spirit that raised you from the dead is alive inside of us and is giving life to our mortal bodies. Thank you that our faith is not fantasy. Thank you that it's not fictitious, but it's real. It's built on the foundation of the truth, the fact that you are risen from the dead. And because you're alive, because you're risen from the dead, we have an eternal hope. We have an eternal redemption, an eternal security in you that cannot be taken away. And we are bigger than the devil. Whatever he throws our way, we're bigger than him. We can deal with him. Because you've placed us above all principality, above all power, all dominion. Thank you that on a day like today, Father, we can just reflect on what you've done for us, what you're freely offering us, and how we can just freely receive what you're freely offering. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just with your eyes closed. You know, if you've never made a decision to receive Christ and you're saying, you may have grown up in church, you may have heard a lot about Jesus, even prayed and all of that, but if you've never accepted Him, if you've never made a conscious decision to receive what He's done for you and become a Christian, then you need to receive Jesus. And it's simple. All you need to do, the Bible says, is believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and then with your mouth confess that He is your Lord. That's all. All you need to do is believe in your heart and then declare publicly that He's your Lord. And if that's you, I just encourage you in your heart right now just to speak to God. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up or anything like that, but I want to encourage you just to come up after the service, and we would love to pray for you. We'll give you a free gift to help you walk in or grow in your relationship with God. But right now, I just encourage you in your heart, just say, Jesus, I receive your free gift of salvation. Right now in your heart, if that's you, just if you kind of wandered far from God and you feel like you want to wander back and you're feeling the draw, just say, Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I receive everything you've got for me. Life can be hard and it can be difficult, and you know, it I don't know how you can do it without God. I don't know how you can overcome and you can't. You can't truly live in victory without Jesus, without realizing what He's done for you and walking in that relationship with Him. He's got the best advice for you in your business. He's got the best advice for you in your marriage. He wants to show you things to come. He wants to help you in every area of your life. Just open up your heart to Him and say, Jesus, I want to know you more. Even if you're already a Christian and you just realize that you haven't been living close to God, you haven't been walking in what He's got for you, just in your heart, just respond to Him and say, I want to walk in the fullness of everything you've done for me, Jesus. I want to walk in that resurrection life and that resurrection power. Now, this is between you and God right now. Just focus your attention on Him and just say, I want what you've got for me, Father. I want to walk in that fullness. I don't want to play games anymore. I want to enjoy my Christianity. I feel God just saying, wanting to remind us, specific people as well right now, that it's not about your performance. It's not about what you do. It's about what He's done. Just focus on what He's done for you and is freely offering you. I just feel in my heart there's someone here, you're really just gripped with fear. And God just wants you to know that you've got nothing to fear when He's living inside of you. You don't have to fear lack. You don't have to fear sickness. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear, you know, the government. You don't have to fear anything. Just open up your heart to the Spirit ministering to you the love of God and allow His love just to wash over you. Allow His love just to strengthen you. It'll strengthen you as you experience it. Thank you, Father. I really just feel that there's a number of people here that today, you've been standing, you've been trusting God for something, or maybe you're facing a challenge and you need to trust God for something. Whether it's healing, whether it's a job, whether it's whatever. And I just feel, I want to encourage you that because of the resurrection, your situation has been dealt with. You don't have to beg God. You don't have to try and convince God. Jesus was the proof of his love for you, of him wanting to help you, of him wanting to rescue you, of him, you know, it was him rescuing you. It was him reaching out to you, wanting to help you. And if that's you, I want to encourage you after the service, just come up and let us minister to you. Let us pray with you. Let us agree that your situation will change. Now, whatever the devil's trying to do in your life, it'll come to an end now in the name of Jesus. As we're taking communion, it's demonstrating your victory. It's declaring your victory in Christ. And as we take communion, I want to encourage you. In your heart, believe the promises of God and thank God for them. You'll start to see them manifest in your life. Thank you, Father.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.